I stood there and watched Alvin Lamardo move off down the hall. I should have called him back, folks. I should have known right then that it wasn't going to turn out well. Instead, I closed the office door and returned to my desk. On impulse, I opened the French doors and went out on the balcony. I scanned the street below, but there was no sign of him. I shook my head, dissatisfied. I locked the cashier's check in my file cabinet. When the bank opened on Monday, I'd put it in my safe deposit box until I located Tony Gahan and then turn it over to him. 15? At noon, I closed up the office and went down the back stairs to the parking lot, where I retrieved my VW, a decaying sedan with more rust than paint. This is not the sort of vehicle you'd choose for a car chase, but then most of what a PI does for a living isn't that exciting anyway. I'm sometimes reduced to serving process papers, which gets hairy now and then, but much of the time I do pre-employment background checks, skip tracing, or case and trial preparation for a couple of attorneys here in town. My office is provided by California Fidelity Insurance, a former employer of mine. The company headquarters is right next door, and I still do sporadic investigations for them in exchange for a modest two rooms, one inner, one outer, with a separate entrance and a balcony overlooking State Street. I went by the post office and dropped the mail in the box, and then I stopped by the bank and deposited Alvin Lamardo's $400 in my checking account. 4 business days later, on a Thursday, I got a letter from the bank informing me that the check had bounced. According to their records, Alvin Lamardo had closed out his account. In proof of this, I was presented with the check itself, stamped across the face with a sort of officious-looking purple ink that makes it clear the bank is displeased. So was I. My account had been debited the $400, and I was charged an additional $3, apparently to remind me in the future not to deal with deadbeats. I picked up the phone and called Alvin Lamardo's number in Los Angeles. A disconnect. I'd been canny enough to ignore the search for Tony Gahan until the check cleared, so it wasn't as if I'd done any work to date. But how was I going to get the check replaced? And what was I going to do with the $25,000 in the meantime? By then, the cashier's check was tucked away in my safe deposit box, but it was useless to me, and I didn't want to proceed with delivery until I knew I'd be paid. In theory, I could have dropped Alvin Lamardo a note, but it might have come bouncing back at me with all the jauntiness of his rubber check, and then where would I be? Crap. I was going to have to drive down to L.A. One thing I've learned about collections, the faster you move, the better your chances are. I looked up his street address in my Thomas Guide to Los Angeles Streets. Even on the map, it didn't look like a nice neighborhood. I checked my watch. It was then 10:15. It was going to take me 90 minutes to reach L.A., probably another hour to locate Lamardo, chew him out, get the check replaced, and grab a bite of lunch. Then I'd have to drive 90 minutes back, which would put me in the office again at 3:30 or 4 o'clock. Well, that wasn't too bad. It was tedious, but necessary. So I decided I might as well quit bellyaching and get on with it. By 10:30, I'd gassed up my car and I was on the road.